Kevlar, brown sugar, about to set it like, yeah, y'all. Just my mic so I can touch it up right quick. Show them how Brooklyn do, you know what I mean? Yeah. Listen, yo, let's start it up. Let's get it flowing. Let's make a move. Let's get it going. I know it's feeling like everything you want, don't it? And you've been waiting your whole life for one moment. Well, baby, here it is. You better step to it. I know you're ready, right? Then, baby, let's do it. Move your neck to it. Put your arms and legs next to it. Then put whatever else is left to it. See, you're all in. Now you're about to rock them. Got your focus, man. Now they got a problem. Who you talking to? Some right there. The man in the mirror. I see him. Quite clear, do your thing, Cap. Work it out, dog. Open up their minds, be about yours. Silence everyone who ever tried to doubt yours. Get your mind right, keep your sound raw. Heavy bass, man, make it bounce more. Make them feel it from the ceiling to the ground floor. How it sound, y'all? I know it's crazy, right? I know it's crazy tight. Don't ever take me light. It's Cap love, y'all. And that's what's up, y'all. I beat game, I know exactly what you want, y'all. I make it jump, y'all. So put them up, y'all. Brown sugar, Brooklyn, it's about to jump.
You got to give it to me. You need to give it to me. You better give it to me. Give it to me.
Brown sugar, leave the ground sugar. Got the world sweating like fiends without cooker.
You know you really wanna
give it to me. You better give it to me. You got to
give it to me. Give it
brown sugar. Lick your lips to it. Work your hips to it. A steady rocking like this. Like 1, 2, 3 into the four. That brother Cabby Cab is here to let him know. This for my hustlers. This for my scramblers. This for my sexy mommy. Sexy mommy. This for everybody. Banging at any party and watch them rock to it, bounce and pop to it. This here's hot music. Duke, I'm not losing. You need to stop fooling. I know the game very well, boy. I'm not stupid. Sharp and smart moving, applying a heart to it. Team here to get the ghetto blocks moving. And after rocking them, the porch and backyard's moving. Keep it cracking, cause I love the way that y'all do it.
You got to give it to me.
You need to
give it to me.
You better
give it to me. Give it to me.
Brown sugar, leave the ground shook up. Observe the way how we make it sound good up like you got to. You need the
give it to me.
You got the
give it to me. Give it
brown sugar. Lick your lips to it. Work your hips to it. Steady rocking like this.
Damn, baby. Damn, baby. Damn, baby. Damn, baby. Damn, baby. Ooh. Ah, ah, ah. Ooh. Ah, ah, ah. Damn, baby. Damn, baby. Damn, baby. Damn, baby. Ooh. Ah, ooh, ah, ah. Ooh. Ah, ooh, ah, ooh, ah.
Yo, 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 what's going on, everybody? This is your boy Reckless in the building with another episode of the Reckless Effect podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in, you guys. Shout out to everybody that's listening, wherever the hell you're listening. It's just been a crazy fucking week, yo. I've had just an emotional roller coaster. So I just want to say, yeah, thanks again for tuning in. I was going to do a show on, I'd drop an episode on Wednesday, but, like, just a lot was going on, and, I couldn't get away, so here I am, giving you everything from the week. So, I'm going to start with, something that was going on last week, which was, WrestleMania weekend. I'm a huge wrestling fan, as a lot of you may know. I'm a co-host on another podcast, Three Count Podcast. Check that out. It's on anywhere that you stream podcasts. It was an eventful weekend, to say. And if you want to hear the review, go to the podcast and check it out. But one big thing that happened during the weekend for me was Kofi Kingston winning the WWE Championship. That was a huge fucking deal to me. And if you follow wrestling, or if you heard the podcast and you don't follow wrestling, it's a big deal because the WWE has been around since 1979, and the WWE Championship has been held mostly by people who don't look like me, who don't look like well, yeah, who just don't look like me. So it was a beautiful thing to finally see somebody that looks like me take that top title. So it was really, like, amazing. And to see Kofi Kingston up there holding that title. Representation is, like, really important for, like, everything that you, like, love to do or you love to watch. Because if you don't see somebody that looks like you, how do you feel like it's even possible to get to that point or to do the thing that you love to do? Like, seeing Barack Obama become president of the United States, it allowed a lot of black kids to say, I can definitely be president of the United States one day. And their parents say, yes, you can. And actually mean it. Not just say it just because their kid is saying it. So it's a beautiful thing. And I was, like, really emotional about it. I cried. I got made fun of. I don't care. But I cried. And it was just a big, beautiful moment. So shout out to Kofi Kingston. That was a beautiful thing. So I was hype. I was already, like, on emotional hype from that. And then going into just the rest of this week, knowing that Dwayne Wade was going to have his last game. And he showed up and showed out. And that was a beautiful thing. And if anybody's seen that Budweiser commercial, because I watched that, like, a couple days ago. And I just bawled my fucking eyes out. And I was like, man, that man is actually, like, really such a good dude. Like, we already knew that he was a great guy. But then, like, seeing that and then having to really, like, then you absorb it. Then you see throughout his career all the things that he's done for people outside of the sport. It's a very beautiful thing. And I'm, like, shout out to that man, and congratulations on, like, an amazing career. Definitely a future Hall of Famer. And then I saw this conversation of, like, who was better, Dwayne Wade and Paul Pierce. Shut up. I love Paul Pierce. He's great on the court, but you can't compare. Dwayne Wade was way better, especially a better defender. Yeah, so congratulations to him. And Dirk Nowitzki retired. Officially announcing it, like, it was funny seeing, like, the last half of the season and all these coaches and players were giving him love and all this stuff, and it was like, yo, he never said that he was retiring, y'all need to chill. And then he announced it and I was like, oh yeah, they probably already knew, but still, like, it still hurt a little bit, but he had a great career, and I'm a Dallas Mavericks fan, so that stung a little bit, but I think the future's going to be bright, especially for that team, and another future Hall of Famer right there. And pretty much everybody knows by now, Magic Johnson stepped down. He's no longer the president of basketball operations. That's cool, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I feel like it was a good thing for him to step down because in his speech, he was talking about how he wants to be able to tweet things about, you know, Dwayne Wade leaving or be able to mentor people, and he can't because of his position. So I think it's a good thing that he's gone. But I don't know. I think it might. I think it's gonna affect the future of that team in a positive way. And now that Luke Walton is also gone. Maybe things can get back on the winning ways. We'll see if Anthony Davis actually goes to LA. We'll see if that happens. I wouldn't be surprised if they do everything in their fucking power to make sure that that does not happen. The Pelicans. I just feel like they'll try to do some fuck shit and not send him over there. But, you know, whatever. I'm also seeing some really good things for New York. If Zion does not come into the league next year, I doubt that he won't. But if he doesn't, then New York is going to have to make some, like, major plays. Like, I see KD going over there, Kyrie coming like a year later. I see some crazy shit happening for New York, and I'm excited to see how that's all going to play out. But we'll see. And then seeing how the Kings have just, like, transformed. even though they just fired their coach. It's amazing to see that something special is happening in Sacramento. This is my home. It's my city. So it's a beautiful thing to see. And I hope that the future remains bright for this team. So I'm looking forward to that. All right. So let's get into some other shit. I saw this. I'm not going to avoid it. I was trying to like not talk about Nipsey again, but we can't because it's fucking everywhere. So his funeral service, his homegoing, was on Thursday, and just like a lot of you, I tuned in, I watched, had some tears. It was dope to see how LA came together for this man, this great human being, seeing all these people from different walks of life who were affected by his loss, or who was also affected by his life, just him and his presence. It was a major, beautiful thing to see. I saw like Meek Mill being there. Barack Obama wrote a letter. I saw, you know, Snoop Dogg was up there, and he killed that shit. Him telling his stories and stuff about Nip and like their connection and stuff. Like I thought that was dope. I think I might have like a clip of it. Because I thought this one particular story was actually pretty cool. So let's see if I can pull that up real quick.
You need to do a amusement park, cuz Doggy Land, cuz. I'm like, for real? You're like, yeah, cuz, with 40-ounce roller coasters and, you know what I'm saying? Nigga, you Snoop Dogg, cuz, everybody come see you, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, come check your amusement park. I'm like, cuz, you tripping. So he kept, like, every time I would see him, he would always bring it up. He would bring it up. So, like, the fifth time he said it to me, or was it the sixth time? Yeah, the sixth time he said it to me. Let me get politically correct. Yeah, because the sixth time he said it to me, I said, Nip, why don't you just do it for me, cuz? Because I don't understand the dynamics of what you're saying, cuz I'm an old school nigga. I'm A, B, C, D. You didn't want off into the Matrix, cuz. You got to... So with that being said, Nip ended up creating a square, and he ended up buying property, and he ended up having things like Vector 90, and he ended up doing things in the community, and he built his own Doggy Land. He built his own world. He built his own thing that people from around the world are starting to come to, take pictures of, stand in front of, immortalize this man. Things that he wanted for me, he did for himself. But he had vision for me that I didn't even have for myself. So I want to thank you, mother and father, for bringing Nipsey into this world, for giving us Nipsey. I thank y'all for that.
Yeah, so I thought that was a cool and funny story for him to share. And yeah, but emotional points was when his mom came up there. I'm surrounded by strong black women. My mom, my grandmother, my aunt. I look to them whenever I'm like, you know, down or confused, or like I ask questions, you know. They were always there for me in like every aspect of my life, you know. And hearing my grandmother tell me stories of the past, or tell me stories about, you know, life, or how I should respond to things and how I should be around people and the energy that I give off, and my aunt teaching me those same things, and it was always like comforting to hear those things. And when my grandfather passed, I looked to them to see like how I should deal and how I should grieve, or how I can feel better. And it was amazing to see them just strong and holding it down for all of us. And it was just an amazing and beautiful thing, and it was something that I'm grateful for. So to hear another like queen step up there and speak with love and conviction, and just letting everyone know that it's gonna be okay. She had that strength where she was aware of everyone else and was still being a mother to everyone. And it was just a beautiful, beautiful speech. hearing his brother go up there and seeing his brother really, really got me too. And then hearing Lauren London speak, it was just it was sad. It was very sad, but there was also like this feeling of like life. And when Lauren was talking about he's not really gone, and he lives here with us, within us, and that can't be taken away. Like, that was beautiful. That was strong. And then of course hearing, you know, the marathon continues. It was a powerful day and a powerful like moment. So I started to feel a little better about it. It was just really like, it was still tough. It was still tough to go on. And it's just a crazy thing because you don't know these people personally, these artists that you listen to, but you feel them through their music. You feel like you have grown with them, that you understand them, that you believe in them. And for some reason, like, you feel like in those moments when you need like comfort and we turn to music, it's the artists that end up comforting us, not just the music, but it's them. Like, they are coming to us and speaking to us, and we feel it. Like, that message that they're giving at that point in time was just for us. That is an incredible power, and I'm just grateful. And yeah, man, just rest in peace, Nipsey. Like, that was a beautiful, beautiful thing. And still raw, still sad. Still raw and still sad, man. Like, it's just hard. And I feel like I need like a little bit of a distraction or something, because that was a lot. That was tough to, that was a tough pill to swallow. I don't know, maybe I'm just being a little sensitive, I guess. You know, I hate when people say that shit to me, like, oh, you're a little sensitive, like, suck a dick. Like, it's tough for a lot of people, and, it's just hard to deal with someone that, you admire, or, anyone's passing, but this is one of those things that was just, like, that was tough. But I feel like I want to, like, step to the side and get, like, some, get something good going and play something that just, like, take my mind off of it for a second. I don't know. Yeah, I'll get into this. Yeah. And I'm back. Okay, I'm feeling good now. I saw the new Star Wars trailer. It looks dope. But what's crazy is that I haven't seen any of the new ones that came out. I haven't seen them. But for some reason, I really want to see them now. And it's just because of that trailer. But I was never really like a huge Star Wars fan. So, I mean, of course I've seen all the movies. But I'm just not that big of a fan. I don't know. Shoot me, I guess, whatever. That was my Star Wars take. Yeah, so I was actually kind of like excited to talk about this one, Wendy Williams and her situation. So I was just chilling in the house, relaxing, all cool, you know, thinking about shooting some b-ball outside of the school, when I got a notification on my phone, and it just said, holy shit, Wendy Williams files for divorce and serves him at work. I was like, get the fuck out of here. And so I clicked on it. I went to the link. And there it is. She's finally calling it quits. Congratulations to her. That's dope as fuck. She filed for divorce. Sources on the show told TMZ that Kevin was served with divorce papers Thursday morning at the studio. And they brought in extra security just in case he would lose his mind, but apparently he didn't. They've been married for 22 years. That's crazy. But, you know, obviously a lot of it has to do with the fact that he has an alleged mistress and it's been all out there, moved 9 miles away from their house, and she just had a baby. And according to the divorce documents, it says Wendy claims irreconcilable differences. And that the docs state a breakdown of the marriage over a period of the last 6 months. And she wants the court to determine an appropriate amount of child support. That's funny because their son is, what, 19, 20? Like, that's weird. Saying that a rep told TMZ that Kevin is supportive of Wendy and they're working through this process together. I take that as you will, but I feel like he's just like, baby, please don't leave. Like, I feel like he's singing Blackstreet at the moment. You know what I'm saying? Can you fucking imagine? He's fucking on his knees. Don't leave me, girl. No, no, no. I did that no justice, but whatever. That shit is funny as fuck. Like, I don't know. And let's be real, the majority of the money that he gets is because of her. All the money that she makes from the show, the radio, like everything. She's a fucking mogul. And most of that money is through her. So he's going to be losing out on a lot. The lifestyle that they live, reportedly, Page Six reported saying that Sharina, the alleged mistress, had been saying to him, like, just leave her, and he's been telling her that he can't leave because Kevin and Sharina would not be able to have the lifestyle that they currently have without her paychecks. So it'll be interesting to see how the proceedings go on, but I applaud her. I wish that she would talk about it and really, like, direct that conversation. I know that she's, like, private about her own life, but she still feels like it's okay to talk about everybody else's without, you know, talking about her own. Whatever. That's neither here nor there. I know that she's not going to, but it would be, like, powerful for her to do so, to talk about what she's been going through. And we've all seen it. We all know what's going on. So why not just talk about it? Let your feelings, feel your feelings and let that shit out. But that's just me. I feel that it's more powerful to be transparent than it is to just hide and not, deal with shit and be upfront with it. Just be upfront and talk about it. Don't just, you know, hide behind it and think that, and we're just going to forget about it. No, bitch, we sitting here and we're waiting for you to say something. So, but shout out to her, applause, gunshots, and all that shit. Moving forward on to the next thing that I think is kind of weird. Aaron Carter is going to talk about Michael Jackson and, the shit that went on with him and Michael. I find it weird because he had already come forward before in defense of Michael, and especially with the documentary that came out. He had came forward and said, you know, Wade, Jeff, you guys are pieces of shit, and you guys are speaking on a dead man who can't defend himself, and all that good shit. So I was very like, all right, you go. But now with him wanting to speak out, it's very interesting as to how things are going to proceed and what he's going to say. He said he's going to talk about it in the next couple of weeks. So we'll see. We'll see whatever is hiding, whatever he was like hiding or like not talking about or whatever. So we'll see. Whatever. I'm interested I'm interested. And it's not like anybody's been interested in Aaron Carter since he was like 14. So, you know, nobody really gave a fuck. But we'll see what's going to come for it. So Coachella has begun. And I don't care that much. Like, I kind of care because, you know, some artists are that I would love to see. But I really don't care. Whatever. But the one thing that I find very dope is that NSYNC will be performing with Ariana Grande at Coachella. Not entirely sure what they're going to do, but I think it's going to be dope. They're planning something cool. And I personally was just like, yo, she has a song called Break Up With Your Girlfriend. They have a song called Girlfriend. This will be interesting. Justin Timberlake will not be involved, though. So, not really. It would be dope. Like, I just wish for once NSYNC would come back together and just do, like, not do, like, small halftime show appearance or whatever. Like, I want them to do a tour. They don't have to put out new music. But I think it would be dope for the culture if they went on tour one last time and just dropped, just did that. I think that would be a lot of fun. I think it would be dope. Justin Timberlake is huge. NSYNC is still, like, one of the, like, favorable bands out there, you know, boy bands, since there's not, like, a lot. New Kids on the Block is still touring, and they still drop albums, which was incredible to find out that the last two albums that they dropped went number one. Backstreet Boys, same thing. Like, they still tour, and their albums have reached number one. Like, there's a place for it. And if NSYNC came back together and dropped an album, I think it would fucking smash. Like, I think it would be crazy. And everybody would be here for it. So I'm excited to see that one thing. But the rest of Coachella, like, I'm not really caring. I heard Cardi B killed it. Selena Gomez and her went out there and did Talky Talky, and it killed. So that's dope. We'll see. And I think that's, like, all my fucking Coachella news that I really wanted to talk about. Like, I really don't care. And then, it's, okay, so there's this other thing that's been, like, really, like, bothering me. And it all started on Facebook a couple days ago. This was gonna be the meat of what my podcast was gonna be about, but I've been going back and forth about it, about, like, talking about it and, really addressing it. I talked to friends, I talked to some people, and I've gotten to, like, debates on Facebook and, like, in the world about it. And the most important thing that I did was listen, not just to the people that I was having these discussions with, like, or the debates with, but also listening to, like, other people that have been affected by this. So what I ended up talking about, or what I'm talking about, is... I saw a post, and it was a woman who was holding on to, like, a sign, and it says, "Why does every woman know another woman that was raped, but no man knows a rapist?" And I thought, okay, she got a point. Like, she got a little point. I'm listening, or I'm reading that, and I'm just like, eh. And then someone chimed in and says, "'Cause there's no such thing as rape culture. And that guy would get fucked up if he's around real ones. Number two, men do know rapists, but the only ones who justify their actions are other rapists, and they ain't snitching." That second part, it's a joke. Whatever. Okay. So to unpack it, I'll start with the second part. Men knowing other rapists. I firmly believe that as men, if we knew someone that was a rapist, he would get the fuck out of here. Like, we would do anything in our power to make sure that that piece of shit knows that he's a piece of shit. Whatever that may be. Being his ass and turning him into the police. Like, being there for the victim. We all do not condone rape. That is number one. We all have the same sentiment when it comes to rape. Rape is wrong. It's disgusting. And this person, whoever did it, needs to be chemically castrated and thrown under the jail. you know, that's no question. But culture, that is a real thing. And we as men will fight to the death that it does not exist, that there is not a rape culture. And the reason why, from what conversations have like transpired between me and my friends, it's more of like the idea is we don't condone rape. People go to jail for it. We don't hang around with rapists. We as a culture do not condone rape. Yes, this is true, but there's still a culture. And the whole debate has been how is it real when statistics are showing that we do not condone it? But that's only part of the argument. And when I seen my brother, he actually told me to look at Steven Crowder and watch his videos on YouTube on this topic. So I watched it, and I was breaking it down as I'm watching it, and I'm really, really opening myself up to listen to his point of view. And he made a lot of good points when it came to why rape culture is a myth. But in his stats and statistics, he left out other contributing factors, and that's what my point was to everyone else. And then it kind of spiraled. It really did spiral to like a weird point to where we're arguing with each other about what is rape culture then. And for those who are kind of like, what is rape culture? Rape culture is the concept of normalization of sexual attitudes about sexuality and gender. And things that contribute to it is victim blaming, slut shaming, denial of widespread rape, and sexual objectification, refusal to accept the harm of sexual assault. All of those things contribute, and all of those things is rape culture, right? But then when someone else jumps in and says, with this logic, then there's a black on black crime culture. And yes, there is. there's definitely a black-on-black crime culture, but then you have to understand, like, when we're talking about this, everyone's focused on rape, and that there's more of a, like, there's different types of rape, or they're focused on, like, the actual terrible, harmful, like, break into someone's house, rip up their clothes, or take them into an alley, or Brock Turner, like, that... They're thinking of that, and it's like, okay, that's not condoned. Yeah, we're not disagreeing on that. It's what is culture then? Like, if you're taking just the first part of the word, but you're forgetting that there's another thing that means so much more. So I asked the question, what is culture? And when I read the actual definition of just the word culture, then it started to click. Everything started to make sense. And this is how I articulate it and how I put it together. So with this definition that I found, it's an integrated pattern of human knowledge, belief, and behavior that depends upon the capacity for learning and transmitting knowledge to succeeding generations. That is very powerful in this argument, because there's so many things that are happening in the world, in media, where we kind of just normalize certain things. We are accepting of these things when we're watching it on television, and we know that rape is wrong, but because of like songs that showcase sexual assault or demeaning of women or seeing them as objects, and the way that we talk to each other, especially as men, the way that we talk to each other, the way that we look at each other and say to each other, hey, like, I'd hit that. Or, yo, I was with this girl the other night and, you know, bang, bang, bong, and did this shit. And even to the movies that we watch, like Porky's, to Disclosure, like drilling holes into the wall so you can peek into the girl's locker room while they're changing. What man didn't look at that and say, oh, man, that's dope. I'd do that. Like... we all have those thoughts, But all of, but that is a part of rape culture. That is a very destructive and toxic mentality that and thought process. And that is the normalization of something that's not normal. Going to parties at a college campus and a girl who's like drunk out of her mind ends up having like, you know, sex with somebody, and then the homie slides in and gets in on her before she even like knows what's happening and recognizes that that's another dude, or that there's another guy waiting, or slipping roofies in those drinks. Like, we know that rape is wrong, but there's a lot of things that do happen that men rationalize and say, we were just having sex, we were just having fun, or I was really drunk, she was really drunk. And then there comes the questions to the women, like, what were you wearing? Why were you there alone? How much did you drink? Why didn't you just go home? Like, a whole bunch of things that demean them in that process. And it allows for more women to say, forget it. This did happen to me, but I'm not going to go forward with it because of the humiliation that they put me through. And then seeing other people who have gone on trial, like Brock Turner, who ended up going through the process and only getting months instead of years. Weeks, really. Weeks. Because he has a promising future. And then you hear that sentiment a lot. And even if people can say and rationalize that and say, well, that only happens to white people. Guess what? The world sees that. Women see that. And they feel that, see, that's another reason why we can't come forward. That is contributing to this rape culture. Normalizing something that isn't normal. Rationalizing rationalizing something that we know is wrong. But picking apart it, picking things out of it and saying, well, there's this, this, and this, and this, so, not really. Like, I get it. Or, well, boys will be boys. Shit like that. It rationalizes the act instead of overall saying, no, this is wrong. It's a very touchy situation, and I'm a dude, and I can't really, like, speak so much onto it, only my opinion of the topic at hand. And talked to some women about it, and I know plenty of women. And here's the crazy thing. Men know women that have been raped, but never have a conversation with them about it. Never have that conversation with women in your family about it. Excuse me. Never having the conversation with your significant other about it. You know, we avoid it and not talk about it because it makes us uncomfortable or we don't know what to say. But if we're having these conversations, then we can recognize it because they are coming from a point of experience and something that we don't have experience in. So we should be shutting up and listening, but we don't ask the questions and we give more opinions. It's just crazy to find that in Steve Crowder's, like, in his argument, he was stating that 1 in 9,000 women are raped. And I said, that can't be right. It just can't be right. And I looked up his stats and where he got that information from. And I was like, okay, yeah, it's skewed. It's skewed because it doesn't account for women that have been raped but have not reported it. It doesn't. And when you take that number into account, then you see how frequently it actually happens. 1 in 5 women are raped or have been sexually assaulted into some degree. 1 in 71 men have been raped or assaulted. And that blew me away. And another number, 1 in 21 men have been forced to rape. That was astounding to me as well. And when I heard someone say, that's crazy. Why? How can you force someone to rape? Oh, really? Think about it. Gang culture. Looking at sororities, or not sororities, fraternities. Just even being like at a party and when it's drunk and you're like, no, you can get that. No, do it. You ain't a man if you don't hit that because they're a virgin and they want to prove that they're men. Like, that is a very it happens, and it's scary, and it's fucking wild to me. It's just wild. And I feel like when it comes to like paying attention to what's actually going on, and really, really doing the research instead of just getting that secondhand, you actually accumulate and learn more. But this situation is like really tough, because the stats that people are like putting out there to try to sway one way of how rape culture isn't real is skewed, because it doesn't have all of the information that is actually needed. Like the NCVS that measures unreported rapes found that 431,840 incidents of rape or sexual assault have occurred in 2015, when Crowder compared it to the 90,000 in that same year. That's because it didn't account for unreported rapes. Why is that? Why dispute that? And by the way, that also contributes to rape culture, because you want to pick apart why something that seems real, incredible, and harmful is not actually a thing. Also, I think that people just like to debate shit just because they don't want to see someone else's point of view. And the point of like having those arguments or having like these discussions with people is to be able to take on their understanding and put it with your own and formulate more of a concrete opinion of something, but also understanding that someone else's experience or thoughts may directly conflict with yours, and you can learn something new. That's the beauty of being a fucking human being, being able to talk to somebody and learn something new from them. And I know that this is like super heavy, and it's probably something that nobody really wants to listen to or hear about, but it is something that we have to talk about. It is something that is real, and it's happening. We can't just like pick and choose like the things that we want to understand. We have to like talk about it all. We have to understand it all, because that's the only way to fix a problem. When your roof is leaking, do you just put a pot under it and then call it a day? No. Well, yeah, but you don't ignore it. You get the hell up there and try to patch it. You call someone and hire someone to fix it. Don't just let it happen, because then it becomes a bigger problem. We have to be able to really sit down and have these conversations and come to some understanding and figure out where things could change. Find the holes and fix it. Because if we don't, it's going to continue to be a problem, and we're never going to get to a point where things are going to be okay or things are going to get better if we don't talk about it. And I'm always willing to talk and to listen to everyone. And here's another like fact for you, or a statistic, whatever. 1 in every 10 movies depict a form of rape, sexual assault, or sexual harassment. And see how many fucking movies that there are? $10 trillion have been made on movies that have depicted these things of rape, sexual assault, sexual harassment. It's insane. And that is something that we can't ignore, especially in music. Hip-hop is pop. Hip-hop is the popular music of today. And majority of those hip-hop songs do speak on or talk about rape or women in demeaning fashion, you know. And don't get me wrong, I still like listen to a lot of it, and like some of these new artists I really don't listen to, but it's more of like we have to be able to like understand a line and what it should be. Do I feel like we should stop all hip-hop music, stop all rap music, and make them not talk about it? I mean, we can try, but we'd fail, because we're denying someone the ability to be able to speak what they want and how they feel, and that's not America. But although that is America, but it's hard to gauge what it's just hard. We slap a parental advisory sticker on it and hope for the best, but now with streaming, it's a lot more difficult to shut that down and to make sure that, you know, the furthering generation don't hear it. And that's the information that's being passed on, and that's the information that they're understanding and preaching to their friends and then showing them this, and then it starts to spiral. It's just, it's hard we don't know really what to do, but we have to recognize the power that all these things in pop culture, how it all contributes and how we can change the narrative. It's just something I've been like debating and talking about for the past couple of days, and it's just been wild. It's been too fucking much, and probably I should have just shut it down and just shut up and like let it go, because it's not like it's still going even right now. And then I don't know. First you get the money, then you get the power, then you get the bitches. So does that great true line contribute to rape culture? And yes. Yes. It does. Anyway. So I'm gonna leave you with that. Sorry to get all deep and shit. Like, I'm really trying not to like get into, but I feel like this is the only way that I'm able to like articulate my thoughts, and I'm very thankful for the fact that I have this, and I'm thankful for the fact that I have you guys listening, because I would probably lose my fucking mind. Anyway, a couple days ago, I just found out that Anderson .Paak dropped his new project, Ventura, and I was actually blown away. It was actually really good, way better than his last project. I felt like that was just rushed and just like, what were you thinking? So I'm going to play a couple off of that. I hope you guys enjoy it. This first one is with the great Andre 3000. You know, that man needs another fucking album, another project. Like, I understand he was saying, like, a year ago, yeah, I'm 40. Like, I don't want to be a four-year-old rapper trying to rap. And it's like, dude, you don't try. It's like breathing to you. I hope he comes out with something soon. Like, I would love to hear one more Outkast project, but I would also like to hear one more Andre 3000 project. The man is a fucking legend, an incredible, incredible MC. So anyway, this track is called Come Home, and I hope you guys enjoy it.
I'm begging you, please come home. No one needs. You're all I need, all of me on my knees. Normally, harmony, bumblebee, hummingbird. I'm a nerd, study you. What do you, WWF? We fighting, we might need counseling. Possibly more so me, sounds to me. Frowns will be grounds to leave. Hounds will be looking for you before you drop a tear. I pray them stop pretending that I ain't him. I ain't them. Them some dumpling, I remember when you start dying. Them silver hairs and start hiding from your age. I ask why I come. Amazing how time can run away from us. I'm no nun, you're no priest, but I promise, hun. You gon' see a phenomenon. Come with me like it's Ramadan. I don't eat like it's Comic-Con. I'm a freak for you, yeah. Begging now, pretty please, with cherries on top. Harry, which why Harry, get tough, man, don't give up. And if your gut tells you to strut, then I'll hail you a car. But what man won't beg? You know I'm nutmeg. I will show up on a little moped with a little puppet. It'll be fluffy. We will untough and we can discuss it. You know I'm suffering. I don't miss my friend. I don't like my fan. Bent up silicone. Well, that's illiform. Sweet stuff. Willowong. Push stuck. Billabong. Leaks that minimum. We gon' get along. Peace and intercom. Jesus, been along. T-I-M-E-M. Please, I'm feeling dumb. Please, I'm feeling dumb. Please, I'm feeling dumb. Please, I'm feeling dumb.
You
And that last one was Make It Better, featuring the great Smokey Robson. Anderson .Paak's new album is actually really good. A lot better than I had expected. And so this last track that I'm going to play for you came out last year. It's on the Superfly movie, the original soundtrack. I want to give a shout out to Sarah. It's my homie G. My Vanilla Bean, the homie G Dog. Actually, I should hit her up. I haven't talked to her in a while. But anyway, my niggas, she played this one day for me at work, and I was like, what the fuck? Like, this shit was ill. So, I don't know. This is from Rick Ross. It's a Pwn Suite. So, here you go.
Smith & Wesson on the borderline. Smith & Wesson on the joint one time.
Yo.
Yeah. Smith & Wesson on the borderline. Smith & Wesson on the joint one time.
Yeah, get some jewels for my main man. Never start anything without a game plan. Niggas dap you, then dagger you with the same hand. I'm on my rap and shit, trapping chips with the same fam. We bout beers, no counterfeiting the name brand.
Seeking success, I pray you soldiers taking note. When I needed protection, that's when I would pray the most. Three attempts on my life tonight, I hear maybe the fourth. And the one that I tried, I died, I had to pay the cost. Had to lay down the bitches when come to lay the law. Bitch niggas be scared to get they makeup ruined. Reasons we stepping to them, still in they dressing room. Eternal revenue servants come with they weapons drawn. Ain't no be richer than them snitch niggas could ever know. Passports and bitches call them private affairs. Jay Prince got an island, host playing Simon Says. So on top of this money, got me out on the ledge. Fast tracking my dilemma, told them it was mad. Tell them boss, I told them bitches it was mad. 20 whips, I find a way to utilize. On the Tuesday night, you come and get them super fly. If my life was a movie, we call it Superfly. 60 million on the lower, nigga, who am I? Let me ask again, nigga, who am I? Money traveling at light speed. Middle school, could you tell it I would write these? Aquarius came up in a house full of Pisces. Top floor of the project, we all can sightsee. Flipping verse into flipping verse will indict me. Sentimental moments never pay the bill. Swimming and I'm rolling like I'm Baker Makerfield. And I'm living every moment when I take a feel. Lemon is still swinging memories I won't relive. No, memories I won't relive. Did a new deal, made him give your boy a lump. Then I backed up by that bitch like I was a little punk. Let the top down, but I rose the price up every month. Every day I'm hustling, I pass your boy the blunt. Pass your boy the blunt. 20 whips, I find a way to utilize. On the Tuesday night, you come and get them superfly. If my life was a movie, we call it Superfly. 60 million on the lower, nigga, who am I? Let me ask again, nigga, who am I? I scope for physique, the pockets on fat, upgraded deceased, Airbnb Shaq. Aziz is the talent, Tom Brady the flow, Robert Kraft with the check, Belichick is a toast. What's such an effect on the hoes? As a youngster, such a dream to shop in the fleet. Sweeping floors, cover lounges, then cop you and keep. Billing mansions in that bitch right on top of the beach. All my homies call a duty for calling for peace. I keep a murder one, yes, right on the leash. Shawty looking cute, can I start at her hips? If she the truth, I'ma start with the trips. When I want her crown, I start with her wrist. I start her with a rope and she start with a kiss. We call it a moment of bliss. 20 whips, I find a way to utilize. On the Tuesday night, you come and get them super fly. If my life was a movie, we call it Superfly. 60 million on the lower, nigga, who am I? Let me ask again, nigga, who am I? 20 whips I find a way to utilize. On the Tuesday night, you come and get them superfly. If my life was a movie, we call it Superfly. 60 million on the lower, nigga, who am I? Let me ask again, nigga, who am I?
Maybach music.
That was Capone Suite by Rick Ross. Alright, so I'm about to get the fuck up out of here. Hope you guys have a great day, great weekend, whatever the fuck you guys do today. Just make it beautiful, make it positive, give love, be love, share love. I'm out this bitch. Peace.